Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, well, let's see. It's Friday, June 27th, a week away from the 4th of July. The tropics are quiet. Any idea what the weather's going to be like? You got it. Hot, humid, oppressively hot and humid, with a chance for afternoon showers or morning showers. There's no telling where one's going to pop up. And when they do pop up, they could be heavy and it could cause some street flooding. So that's the best I can tell you. What's going on in Washington with the big, beautiful bill? I don't know. Does anybody really? Justin Buechler joins us now, associate professor of political science at Case Western Reserve University. Try to walk us through it. How you doing, professor?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Let's talk about, you know, this whole Byrd rule and Senate parliamentarian, because we're getting into the deep processes here of the way the government works. And I don't know that a lot of people know about it. So can you kind of give us a tutorial on this?
Sure. So basically what's happening is that nearly any piece of legislation has to go through the Senate with the possibility of a filibuster. And that means cutting off debate with a cloture motion, and that requires 60 votes. The only legislation that doesn't require a cloture motion is what's called a budget reconciliation bill. So what happens with a budget reconciliation bill is that there are a series of procedures, and the process automatically cuts off debate after a certain period of time, so you don't have to call for cloture. But there are a bunch of procedural details to a budget reconciliation bill. So the way that the rules are written for a budget reconciliation bill is you can't just pass anything under budget reconciliation. So the rules for budget reconciliation include a set of restrictions named after a longtime senator from West Virginia named Robert C. Byrd, hence the Byrd Rule. And the Byrd Rule has a couple of primary provisions. First of all, you're not allowed to increase the deficit for more than 10 years. Now, you might think, shouldn't we decrease the deficit? Mm-hmm. But nobody ever does that, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to increase the deficit. Yay, that. Okay. But the bigger issue right now is that budget reconciliation bills are only intended for what's called fiscal policy. So that means taxing and spending. You can change the tax rates and you can adjust how much is spent on any given program. You're not supposed to use budget reconciliation bills to pass general policy making. So here's the real problem with that. Where is the line between taxing and spending and policy making? Because in some sense, spending or taxing it is policy making. Mm-hmm. And if you change spending provisions in a certain way, are you fundamentally altering policy? So the line can get really murky. And the decision for what qualifies as fiscal policy is made by an appointed position. That's the Senate parliamentarian. Her name is Elizabeth McDonough. She has an appointed position, and she's basically the Senate's referee for what qualifies under the Senate's reconciliation rules. So right now, the Senate's going through this process. We call it the bird bath because we have to give everything a name like that. Mm-hmm. And every provision.
It's pretty clever if you think about it.
What was that?
Pretty clever if you think about it. Bird bath. Named after him. You got to clean it up, see what fits, what doesn't. But go ahead.
Exactly. So what's going on is all of the different provisions for the budget reconciliation bill are going to Elizabeth McDonough, and she's making a call for what qualifies as just taxing and spending and what crosses the line into policymaking. And she's telling the Senate Republicans, no, this is policymaking, and hence you can't put it into a reconciliation bill. And that's what's going on.
Who appoints the Senate parliamentarian?
Senate Majority Leader. So officially, she is appointed by John Thune, but it is a nonpartisan position. It's a professional position. She's been there for a long time, and she is pretty well respected. So it is appointed by the majority leader, but the position is just considered sort of a nonpartisan position. You do a kind of a straight down the line job, and you keep it for a long time.
What made me think about that is when you talked about being the referee, and I'm thinking of Rodney Dangerfield and Caddyshack with the money. Here, keep it fair, keep it fair. So does this Senate parliamentarian, Elizabeth McDonough, you said?
McDonough,
does she go back like through different administrations? How far back does she go?
She's been there for a while. I forget how long she's been there, but she's been
so
there
she would
for
have been
a while.
Reappointed, actually, not.
She's been reappointed. Yeah, she's been there for a while, but she is generally pretty well respected. And what that means is she makes everybody angry.
Pretty much. If referees doing their job, right? If I'm doing my job, I get texts from people that say I hate Trump. People say I love Trump. So apparently I'm doing the right thing. And in terms of government and everything else. So, yeah, I guess you got to go right down the middle. When it comes to the different moves, I'm looking at John Kennedy, Louisiana, said it was a setback. Vice President Vance saying, or rather Greg Stube, a Republican, saying the vice president should overrule the parliamentarian because the vice president's the president of the Senate. Tommy Tuberville, Lord knows where he's at, said that she should be fired. Again, keep it fair, keep it fair. Where does this all get codified in terms of rule? Because the Constitution, does it say anything about a parliamentarian? Does it say anything about filibuster? I'm just going back to the origins of this because we all wind up with rules and doing things and we wonder where they come from, right?
Yeah. So the Constitution doesn't say anything about budget reconciliation or the Senate parliamentarian's role in any of this. So this is written into the rules of the Senate, and rules can change. So hypothetically, if you wanted to change the rules of the Senate, that can be done. And the rule for changing the rules, it sounds weird to say it like that, but the rule for changing the rules requires a vote of the Senate, and the threshold is 2/3. So you would need to get a vote of 2/3 of the Senate to change the rules of the Senate. And that's not going to happen for anything. You don't get 2/3 of the Senate to agree on anything. Now, in principle, you could have a majority of the Senate simply vote to ignore the Senate parliamentarian and ignore the rules. And we call that the nuclear option. We've seen that over the course of
let me take a break, Professor. I want to hear about the nuclear option when we come back. I just noticed the clock. We got to stop for traffic here. We're talking about the Byrd rule, the Byrd bath, the parliamentarian, about the big, beautiful bill, about filibusters. And when we come back, we're going to talk about nuclear option. 621 traffic now, WWL. All right, 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about the big, beautiful bill, as it's called, about the Senate parliamentarian that was reappointed by John Thune, but was originally appointed by Harry Reid, who are about as, I guess, politically diametrically opposed as can be. So the idea is to keep it fair. And Professor Justin Buechler, an associate professor of political science at Case Western Reserve University, is trying to walk us through this kind of confusing process about passing a bill with reconciliation to avoid the filibuster, and then it's got to pass the Byrd bath, if you will, and see that it doesn't. Again, it's tell me about the fine line for people that are just tuning in, Professor, because it's hard to say if it's not that.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Everything could be considered fiscal because at some point it's going to affect the budget, right?
Yeah. So the basic idea is that nearly any policy could indirectly affect the budget, taxing and spending. Mm-hmm. But the Senate parliamentarian will make a ruling on whether or not a provision is directly about taxing or spending. And anything that isn't clearly directly taxing or spending is going to be thrown out of a budget reconciliation bill. And she tries to make a determination about whether a policy is sufficiently directly about fiscal policy, and anything that's just indirect, she'll throw it out. And that's basically what she's doing.
So let's talk about the nuclear option. What is that?
Okay. So if you think back to during President Obama's second term, when Mitch McConnell was then minority leader of the Senate, he announced that the Republicans were going to blockade, filibuster, literally anyone that Barack Obama was going to name to the D.C. Circuit Court, which is the second most important court in the country, and basically say that from then on, only Republicans could fill vacancies on the second most important court. And that forced Harry Reid to say, okay, we either need to use the nuclear option and get rid of the filibuster for judicial nominations, or the Republicans would control the second most important court in the country. So that basically forced the Democrats to use what we call the nuclear option, which is when the majority party says we are going to ignore a supermajority requirement and say we have a majority, we're going to ignore the rules and do whatever we want. So the nuclear option basically means the majority party says we have 51 votes, we're going to do whatever we want, regardless of what the rules say. So first, the Democrats used that nuclear option to get rid of filibusters for lower-level court nominations. Then, if you get to 2016, Justice Scalia dies, Republicans blockade that nomination, and then Republicans come in after President Trump's election, his first election, and Republicans use the nuclear option to appoint Justice Gorsuch after Trump's victory. Okay. So the nuclear option has been used in order to fill vacancies. But the basic idea is that you use the fact that you have 51 votes to ignore a supermajority requirement. What could happen is the majority party says that the parliamentarian does not allow us to put this provision into a budget reconciliation bill. Now, if the majority party says we have 51 votes, we're going to overrule the parliamentarian, what that means is you can put literally anything into a budget reconciliation bill. You can put abortion policy into a budget reconciliation bill. And if you can put literally anything into a budget reconciliation bill, then the filibuster basically doesn't exist anymore. So that would be kind of a nuclear option, allowing the majority party. Go ahead.
Is there any, before we run out of time, is there any limitation on the use of the nuclear option, or is that up to the majority party to decide?
Well, the whole point is there's no limit because it's the majority party saying we have 51 votes, we're going to do whatever we want and ignore a supermajority requirement. That's exactly what the nuclear option is. It's the majority party ignoring the rules because they have 51 votes.
So they can do that whenever they want?
Yes.
So the only thing I would warn people is that if you have a Republican majority and you're in favor of that, keep in mind that if that becomes the rule of the nation or the way we do things, it could also happen if you have a Democratic majority, correct?
That's exactly right. Yes, that's exactly right. It's whatever your party does when they are in the majority, the other party is going to do it when they are in the majority. So everything's going to come back around.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Leah Long, Director of Louisiana Chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, about summertime business and the Big Beautiful Bill and more right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.